All right, let's move on to item 7, which is our pension administration system project update. We'll welcome our guests. We got Aaron and Jesse here. Good morning.
Good morning.
So let me first turn it over to our acting CEO, Christina.
So this is our every meeting update right now. And we're kind of still in the same place we were 2 weeks ago. From a staff side, we're focusing a lot on the data cleanup so that we can ensure once we do go live that the data is as clean as possible. So we're continuing to work on a piece of the project, but we are waiting for module deliveries from Sagitech. What I would say we're kind of doing at this point in the project, what I see on the Sagitech side is kind of a course correction, I guess you could call it. And so we're seeing that they're looking a little bit at what we've done and how we can move forward and move forward quickly. And so that's taking a little bit of time. We are also reviewing some of the dates that they are looking at for go live. We know go live is going to be in 2024 after we get through our busy season. And so we want to make sure that whatever that date is can work well operationally with us and that we'll be able to meet our March retirements, which is our busiest point of the year, plus be able to go live with a quality system that provides what we need. And so that's a lot of what we're reviewing right now, not necessarily module testing, but we anticipate that next month we will be jumping back into module testing, so staff are gearing up for that right now.
And am I correct that the module testing, though, is the necessary prerequisite, right, to getting functional modules to work? Is that fair?
Yes, we need the modules to test and make sure that they're working, that they're the quality we need so that we can go live. So we do need that step soon.
Yeah, it just seems to me it's ultimately the fundamental building block, and we can hear from Aaron and Jesse in a moment here, but it strikes me that, you know, you got to walk before you run kind of thing, and it's ultimately that testing has to be successful in order for the modules to be completed before they can be implemented, tested, and then we can talk about an actual go live date. It seems to me that's right. The order of things. Is that fair?
That's right. That's right, Mr.
Okay.
Chair.
Well, let's any more from on your end?
So
let's segue to Jesse and Siegel and go there. I didn't mean to.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members of the board. So, real quickly, just to add additional color, I'm in complete agreement with Christina, but one of the things that we've been doing is really looking at what is that root cause, what's going on that's leading to some of the missed milestones and delays. And in working very closely with CSERA and Sagitech, what we've identified is it appears that there are some customizations that have been identified that diverge further from the core product than initially thought. So what we're doing right now is, well, just to explain that a little bit more, is when you have those customizations that diverge from the core product that's been tested with other clients and more thoroughly tested, it's new development. And when you have more and more customizations, that new development leads to issues, new issues. And that leads to delays. So there's always customizations, but you want to try to keep those customizations to a minimum to the extent possible. And that's what we're looking at right now. So some of those customizations seem to have diverged from the core product. So now what we are doing is we're evaluating those customizations, making sure they are truly needed, and working with Sagitech to really understand the nature of what's going on there.
So can you just, without getting us bogged down here, can you give us an example or two of customization so that we can put some context around that term? So when we talk about customizations, just tell me what you mean.
Say, for example, some of the service retirement calculations, some of the contributions, and the employer contributions, calculating the subvention, some of those things aren't in the core product, And there's a list of those items that we're evaluating to see, okay, which one of these items are really core to CSERA and needed by CSERA. So some of the retirement calculations, for example, were more complex. So those are the ones that are being evaluated.
Does the customization on data extraction vary by cost group? You know, we have several cost groups, as you know. So what does that affect it? I'm just trying to get a sense of this.
Yeah, the data extraction definitely affects it. There's a number of things going on from a data perspective that impacts it as well. But I'm talking more about the functionality. That's really what we're looking at of the core product.
It's not data extraction. It's what we expect to do with the data.
Exactly.
That piece of the functionality, and so what we've encountered is that our system needs more finesse out of the data in terms of what we're asking the system to do than was anticipated when it was bid. Is that fair?
That is fair.
Okay. I'm just trying to get my arms around this.
No, that's the way it was bid. I think the intent was it was more, the functionality that CSERA needed was more in line with the core product. And what's being uncovered now is there are some areas that additional customizations are necessary. So we're going back through and reevaluating that to make sure that are those customizations truly necessary, and what is the effort to get those customizations? If they are, what is the effort to get those customizations in? And if they're not, what is the alternative? And how can we align more closely to the core product? Because the more closely we align to the core product, the more supportable and scalable and stable the system will be.
So is the finesse piece or the customization piece related to the variation in benefits amongst different classes and groups? Is that?
That's absolutely one of them.
Okay. Is there another example to give?
I could give one.
Go ahead.
Because it was one of the first ones that we came across with the project is our pay codes.
Yeah.
So
right.
A lot of other pension systems, and I know we've talked about this before with sometimes the delay in the reporting that we get from the county, is a lot of other retirement systems, when they report their contributions, it's here's the total contributions, here's the total salary. It's just those numbers and that's it. So we know there's a contribution rate, total salary, here's what we should expect in contributions. We match those up. With us, we're getting every single pay code and then total contribution. So our system needs to take that salary and all of those pieces, those different differentials, add it together. Here's the total salary. Now we're going to do a contribution rate, and then that's going to determine our contributions.
And that pay code is per employer?
Each employer has different pay codes.
Right.
They have different subvention. We also, even going further, we got into different tiers, sub-tier, with different PEPRA and COLAs that are attached. So, at a high level, the pay codes, yes, there's a lot that goes into it, but just basic, that was one of the first customizations that we came into that we really had to look at. Is this required for CSERA? Which it is.
Right.
And then we need to build that in. But it is different from what we see out of the box with the product or even from other non-37 Act pension systems.
And is that, so let me ask the dumb question, has that issue translated to customization difficulty or shown up in the testing as being an area where we haven't been able to extract the data and use it as intended?
Yeah, that's part of the issue that we had with the quality issues that we've been running into, Mr. Chair.
You probably told me all this before, and I'm just, you know, each meeting I peel back one more layer of the onion to try to better understand it, but I'm just trying to just gain a better appreciation for what the dilemma is.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the questions are on point. We're really looking at peeling back more layers of the onion to really uncover what is the underlying issue at the core so that we can really prioritize those issues and get a schedule that we are confident in. We're confident, like Christina was saying, as far as 2024 delivery. But we have some proposed dates. We're really evaluating those dates with a lot of scrutiny to make sure that these are going to stick and we can start hitting some milestones, because I've communicated with Sagitech, and I know Christina and Cicera has communicated with Sagitech, is we need to see milestones hit. I mean, at this point, we really need to see some milestones that are being met and develop a cadence to meeting those milestones so that we can build our confidence, because we like the product, but we need to build our confidence that Sagitech is on the right track to deliver that product in a reasonable schedule that works for Cicera. Right. So I know I've had a number of spirited conversations to that extent. I know Aaron has as well, and that's really going to be our focus moving forward.
So in terms of, though, what do you do about the dilemma of data extraction and customization? Is this a situation where if you can't get the data to tell you what you want it to tell you in the sense of pay codes or whatever else, does that mean that Sagitech has to, like, go back and write code so it can do that? I'm trying sure. to understand what's the dynamic, what's the response to the problem? What is it we do to try to get at why we can't use the data or it's not telling us what we need to tell us?
It's really a clarification of the requirements and the customization. That's what we're doing right now, Mr. Chair. We're really looking at what are those requirements and making sure that we have clear direction. So Sagitech is reevaluating those with Cicera and Siegel to make sure they have clear direction for their developers so they can develop the right code that meets our needs. So that's the focus right now. We're kind of looking at everything and making sure that we understand what the customizations are, what are the requirements associated with those customizations, are they truly required by Cicera, is there an alternative, and then if they're truly needed, determine what impact it has to the project, and then move forward from there.
Okay. Well, we can put Aaron on the hot seat next about code writing and whatnot. I'm just trying to, understand at this point we are where we are. We understand what the problem is. We have the dilemma in hand. We have the timeline in mind. So the question is, how do we get from here to there? So, good morning.
Yeah, well, hang on a second.
Scott? Oh, I'm sorry, Jerry. I didn't say
if I could. There are two things that occur to me. One, I don't want to spend a lot of time on water over the dam because it's there, but the idea that I think people are getting a much better feel for how these processes work these days, and I'm yet to see one that works smoothly. I'm sorry that this one doesn't fall into the category either. This is where a vendor comes in all good faith, and says, we have a dynamite product for you, and it'll work for you, and then somebody raises their hands on the client side and says, yeah, but ours is a pretty complicated system, and then usually someone in the sales staff for the vendor says, we've dealt with complicated systems before. It's not a problem. We are infinitely flexible, and we'll be able to handle anything you throw at us. Then you get into development, and now here where we are, where people say, well, we've never seen complicated quite like that. That complicated was more complicated than we thought. So, and I wish I could get a buck for every time I heard that and saw a project end up in this same position now, and where we're trying to figure out whether or not the client really wants it, really needs it, whether or not our vanilla product, likable or not, is going to do the job, and what it takes to customize it, and whether or not that could have been addressed better, more firmly, prior to this. So, I mean, that's where we are, as you said.
Right. Well, I think we're less worried about that last piece at this point.
Yeah.
We're trying to move forward.
But it's just so typical. I mean, it's been here, done this. Heard this, and this is just adds to the long list of stories where you do post-implementation reviews and you find out where the points of friction were, the failure points, and this project doesn't look like it has anything different in the way of failure points than I've seen before. The rationalization of data, just to add emphasis to the importance of that, people are inclined, I think, to kind of dismiss, we have to rationalize the data, we have to make sure it's the same. This is a critical point. Mm-hmm. So, and that's not as much on the vendor as it is on the client, because you'll find when you start doing this data, as they are finding now, that you have errors in the data that you didn't even know were there. It's erroneously coded. It was coded 20 years ago, 15 years ago, whatever it might be. If you can't rationalize that data and get to a point where you say everything is accounted for, everything has been corrected, then it doesn't matter how good the new system is. It's not going to work right because it's not going to be able to correct that erroneous data. So I know you are not underplaying that, but I just want to emphasize that that's kind of a dry part of this whole thing, but it's a heavy, heavy staff lift for them to make sure the data is rationalized.
I couldn't agree with that more. And that's one of the reasons the team is very focused on completing the data cleansing effort.
Yeah.
And there's a number of documents that they're developing right now to make sure we understand what CSERA is going to do with that data, because some of that data has been imported from way back.
Way back. The people that imported it are not here.
No.
Whatever the rationalization was for bringing it in and coding it that way, no one can recreate. They just have to figure out how it's accounted for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what to do with it.
Okay. So. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, if we can, let's move to Sagitech then, and Aaron? The floor is yours. You've heard at least some of the comments. Perhaps you can put some color and context around what you all are doing.
Sounds good. Good morning, Mr. Chair. Good morning, members of the board. As CSERA and Siegel both indicated, one of the things we're trying to do right now is, and I know it may cause some discomfort, but taking a small pause and evaluating what actually is going on. And I think I've heard this a couple times just during this discussion, root causes. Right? And looking at, are we solving symptoms or are we actually solving a root cause? And that's one of the things I know we just had a discussion around customization and degrees of customization from a baseline, right? Which is expected. No matter where Sagitech goes, we understand we need to customize in order to meet unique client needs. Now, what comes into play is the degree of customization. And when there's a degree of customization that has not been anticipated, that then introduces schedule delays. It introduces unpredictability of activity execution and completion. And it introduces quality challenges, meaning, does the solution work? So what we're doing right now from a Sagitech perspective is we're looking at all of these things and saying, okay, what is the actual root cause here? And what do we need to do to correct it? And that's what we're in the process of doing right now. We have been working very closely with CSERA and Siegel on this. We are being very transparent in our communication with them of our findings. While we're doing this, we're also working with CSERA and Siegel on determining a realistic and predictable schedule that can be executed by all parties, taking into account any sort of constraints from all parties again, whether it's a busy season from a CSERA perspective or just not a good time to go live due to whatever potential risks may be there. We're taking all of that into account in order to provide everyone with the information that you need as far as how did we get here, right? That's one question, but a larger question is, well, what are we going to do about it? And for us to get to that, what are we going to do about it? It has to be, you know, we need to understand what the problem is. Part of the problem is the level of customizations. That's what Sagitech's doing, some audits on this specific project and the level of customization to try and make that determination. In addition, we are also doing evaluations of our Sagitech team from a performance perspective, and potentially make some changes there.
Is the root cause kind of analysis trying to determine the cause of the module failure in the testing? Is that the root cause analysis?
There could be. So that is one problem, right? Meaning, what's one problem? Quality. What's another problem? Delay in schedule. Are those two things tied together? Potentially. But what are all of the different factors or causes leading to poor quality and addressing those causes? What are all of the factors leading towards delays in schedule or an unpredictable schedule and execution of activities that we can come to you and say, hey, by this date, this will be done, and have confidence in what we're sharing is accurate information to you?
Well, it strikes me that the biggest driver in schedule delay is the failure of modules to function as intended, right? So that the module failures really are what's driving the schedule. And I'm not going to say that I'm not concerned about the schedule, but for this analysis right now, I'm fixated on the problem solution, because I'm going to assume that's driving the schedule. And we are where we are. We know what the constraints are. We know what March looks like for us, you know, January to March, and then in the month or so after. So we kind of, not kind of, we do know what that looks like, each year, every year. So we are where we are. So I'm back to this root cause analysis, mm-hmm. in terms of being able to understand how you're specifically going about addressing that. And it sounds like you took, I think you called it a small pause, and you're doing essentially a root cause analysis. Is this like taking stock of where you're at in terms of the data you started off with or what you thought when you bid this project, and now you're trying to bring it forward and say, how did we get here and what do we need to do to fix that? And you're also looking at the client needs, I take it, in that, in terms of, and that discussion is either ongoing or will be had, which is where there's some discussion about whether something is or isn't actually needed. Is that fair?
That is fair.
And that hasn't happened yet?
It's in progress.
Okay.
Right? It's been going on, I would say, for at least a couple of weeks, as far as the initial discussions about where we are, what we need to be doing, looking again, what are the causes of these things? How can we prevent those going forward? And what changes does Sagitech need to make in order to prevent those going forward?
And ultimately, is a lot of the solution the ability to write code or to, you know, I feel like I parachuted into a foreign country and I don't know the language and I'm trying to find the basics, the restrooms and the restaurants. I mean, what is it that you what are the specific tools or the techniques that you would use to get at the problems you identify?
It's from, the way I look at things, it's when you're looking at a problem, it could be people issues, could be process issues, could be tools, could be environmental issues, or it could be structure and policy issues. All of those things lead to the ultimate problem that is being recognized. So what we're doing is we're looking at all of these different aspects and saying, do we have a people problem? If so, what changes do we need to make there? Do we have a process problem, right? Meaning, as an example, code is written, it then goes through testing. Is that process of code being tested adequate and valid in producing the results that we all expect, right? So when we're saying that it's a number of factors, it truly is a number of factors that we're looking at and going to be making changes to. I don't think it's as straightforward as just saying, is it a coding challenge, right, of writing code? I think it has to do with going back to the customization. Here's a baseline product. We anticipated, let's say, a 5% deviation on a set of functionality. That deviation, after design, after discussions with CSERA, after understanding CSERA's needs better, we determine that's a 20% deviation. As a result, well, now that's X amount percentage, probably exponentially, more work, which impacts schedule. That's obviously then increases the amount of risk to introduce something that does not align with the baseline product, which then leads to your quality issues. I'm hoping I answered your question.
No,
gave you some context, maybe?
Yeah, no, that,
okay.
It was helpful to me. I don't know if it prompted any questions from anybody. It's as they say, it's complicated. I'm just trying to get more of a nuts and bolts understanding, not because I'm going to be part of the solution. It's trying to understand what I'm being told is kind of what it gets down to. So, any other questions? Jerry, you had your hand up?
This is the first time, maybe I missed it before, where we're talking about identifying people and whatnot, mm-hmm. and that seems like the first time I've heard that. So it reminded me of project phases that have been jocularly described in the past, and I'm wondering if we're now entering that phase First one, the project phase is enthusiasm. Second is disillusionment. Third is panic. Number four is search for the guilty. And number five, punishment of the innocent. And the final stage is praise and honors for the non-participants. So are we now in the stage where we're looking for the guilty?
I think from a Sagittech perspective, we're in the stage of looking at anything that Sagittech needs to do, Sagittech is willing to do in order to make the project successful.
Because, if that's a key player, then that strikes me as a possible real U-turn in the road where somebody says, and I'm not mentioning names because mm-hmm. I don't know the names, where somebody says, I have no idea what he or she was thinking at the time. This requires a total rework from top to bottom because there were fundamental flaws done originally. And we need to correct those at that point. Are we reaching that point? Or is that possible that we...
We're looking at all options at this point. We've not made any decisions. All I'm saying is we're looking at people as, you know, from a Sagittech perspective, are our individuals performing to the contracts Sagittech has with CSERA in order to deliver CSERA a solution that will work? And that's just one aspect of what we're looking at.
Okay. Trying to figure out what phase we're in. Sounds like four or five to me, but that's...
I'm not sure I agree with the phases. I'm extremely enthusiastic. I'm still in that phase.
You're still on number one.
I'm still in number one.
We've actually moved on from that.
So I'm still in number one. But again, maybe it's a subjective thing. So, but, you know, are we comfortable with where we are in the project? No. However, we're looking at what we need to do in order to move the project forward and be successful for CSERA.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask one question. Yeah, from what I heard today, I kind of have one concern, because what Christina described, one of the examples of what's different with CSERA, the way I understood it, it's not necessarily unique to CSERA, it's unique to 37 ACK, basically, right? So does Sagittech have any other 37 counties, basically, as customers or not?
Not at the moment.
Because the concern I have always with a lot of customizations, the more you deviate from the core product, there is the higher chance that with the future upgrades, the system will break again, because you'll have to not only maintain the core product, but you'll have to remember to maintain all the customizations. So is there any plan to incorporate those customizations into core? Because if you want to approach other counties basically with the same product, it probably would make sense to incorporate it into a core product.
It's a very good point. We have a specific arm within Sagittech department who does that kind of evaluation as far as what we take back from all of our implementations back into the product, into the core baseline version. And, you know, 37 ACT is obviously one aspect of that to consider, but we also have to look at other aspects, you know, across the country and even across the world with some of our other clients. So, but it is taken into consideration.
Any other questions for Jesse or Aaron or Christina or anybody? Not seeing any. All right, well, we'll keep this on our regular cadence, right, for reports, and hopefully we'll make progress. Have every expectation we will. And we'll see you at the next meeting. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.